Today on the Back Row Fantasy Show, we discuss redraft strategy and ADP. Where should you take guys that you didn't think about, and who should you pass on? Coming up now on the Back Row Fantasy Show.
Welcome to the Back Row Fantasy Show with your hosts, Jeremy Barker and Aaron Arms.
Holy hell, what a week it has been. Thanks for joining us. It's Bark, and to my left is Arms.
Good morning.
And to my right is our good friend and part-time co-host, Jeremy Lambert.
Hey.
96.7 Lamp.
Really wish you wouldn't do that.
I really wish you'd do it more often.
If there's something that Arms wants done more often, you kind of got to do it more often.
I agree.
I mean, he shuts me down on so many levels, sexually, hypothetically, I don't know any more words. Words are hard today.
Theoretically,
conversationally. I mean, he shuts me down.
I get it.
But when I say 96.7 the lamb, he wants more.
Yes.
Well, keep it going then.
He wants
Give me more of the lamb, you know?
Yeah, he wants more of the lamb. So thanks for joining us again. We're very glad to have you back. Last week was a great episode with Michael Bauer. Thanks, Bauer, again for coming. Check out the Dynasty Rewind. It's a good show.
Thanks for the beer, by the way. That's pretty good stuff.
Lion's Head Pilsner?
He left
it. Lion's Head's bad.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Not bad at all.
I enjoy it.
There we go. I cranked you up a little bit. Yeah, solid beer. Dwight Schrute approved.
Oh, yeah.
Do you watch The Office? We had this combo in the last one.
No.
Really?
Nope.
That kind of makes me sick.
Apparently, you need new friends.
It's all good. Not everybody has to watch The Office. Not a huge deal. Not a massive deal. But
thank God, because if that was a deal breaker, I'm out. You know, honestly, though, it's funny. It is a funny show. I'll give it credit. It's just not a show I feel like I need to watch over and over again.
That happens. I can't watch Game of Thrones.
I have practically binged the entire, I'll be honest with you, I didn't start it until it was over. And now I'm into season 7, and I'm like.
Is it one of the best shows ever? Because I just couldn't get past.
Listen, and this has nothing to do with a morality standpoint, but the first three episodes, you're like, all right, this is just kind of porn, you know, this is just kind of softcore porn. So what the heck? It's softcore porn. There's not even dragons yet. You don't know what's going on. And then all of a sudden it's like, all right, we're going to take you away from your regular scheduled sex on Game of Thrones and show you a storyline. And then it got entertaining.
It is one of the better shows. I enjoy it.
So Lambert watches it, Arms watches it. I'm like the only one that does.
But you're also talking to a guy that's not watched Letterkenny, The Office, or Parks and Rec. So I don't know if you can really trust me on TV shows.
Well, Letterkenny's a different animal than Parks and Rec and The Office. If you don't like Parks and Rec and The Office, I get it.
Those are three shows that I'm trying to get into.
If you get past one season of The Office and make it into season two, don't get me wrong, season one's great. Once you get to season two, you're good and hooked. Same thing with Parks and Rec.
That's what I was going to say. That's what I've heard about Parks and Rec. And I'm trying to struggle through the first season. And I'm it's got moments of being funny. It's got to get better.
They definitely figured out. But Letterkenny, on the other hand.
Immediately great.
I can't wait.
I mean, it really is. It's immediately
the
great.
The opening scene of Letterkenny is, rolling.
Every episode.
Every episode.
No, my friends the other day. Just good stuff. But, again, thanks for joining us. I am going to take this time to throw out a shameless plug, and there's a good reason for this. If you enjoy the fantasy football banter of me, Arms, Neil, Lambert, and sometimes guests from other podcasts, but mainly if you enjoy us four, me, Arms, Neil, Lambert, check out the Back Row Talk Show, because it is, if you need a break from sports talk, which I know sounds blasphemous, but if you want to hear about music, movies, thoughts, opinions, rants, Neil getting pissed off, which is always great stuff.
Pissed off Neil is my favorite Neil.
Yeah. If you like us, you enjoy hearing us, go follow the Back Row Talk Show. It's actually, I actually really enjoyed the first episode we put taped the other night.
Can we take a time out for a second? Because
sure.
Earlier today, I saw a tweet from Arms under the Back Row Show Twitter account.
All right.
About Metallica.
Oh boy.
Being the best American band.
Yeah.
Just wrong.
Okay, who's better? It's a rock band, by the way. It's what the question was. The best American rock band.
It is hard because Led Zeppelin's out, Beatles out.
Yeah.
Ozzy Osbourne out, Black Sabbath gone. Like, there's a lot of bands that you think of that you don't hear the accent in their singing,
right?
That they're like from Australia or Great Britain,
Surprisingly,
AC/DC's Australia. You know what I mean?
I got you.
Surprisingly, Metallica does end up being in the combo, and it was multiple people. I mean,
I'm not saying they're not.
It's hard.
Well, who's there?
It was hard.
It's just. It's not my style, is all.
But who's there? Just answer that question.
I tried to look. The Doors.
Even if you liked Nickelback, they're Canadian. You know what I mean? Like, there's so many bands that are international.
Who would have said Nickelback?
Who would have said that?
You.
Lambert.
Sarah Wall, that's who. Someone I work with. She would have said Nickelback, but.
Very good friends with their brother.
Yeah, yeah. But, you start looking at the greatest American bands of all time. Foo Fighters are in there.
Oh, yeah.
Because there is not. Yeah. And that's not a knock on Foo Fighters. I love the Foo Fighters, but a lot of people don't give them very much respect. But American bands, it's tough. I think Creedence was. I saw Creedence CCR, on it a few times.
I mean, you can give Nirvana the nod, right? They're definitely up there. It obviously, cut way too short for that's where Metallica beats them or
Body of Work,
even Pearl Jam,
Sublime.
Pearl Jam was in there, but again, Body of Work. How long has it been since Pearl Jam had a hit album?
Yeah,
we may like their albums. You're I liked
Lightning Bolt. I liked it. I haven't heard they got a new one, right?
Backspacer and Lightning Bolt were fantastic to me, but not everyone else.
Oh yeah, yeah.
So I'm a lifelong Pearl Jam guy.
Look at what Saint Anger.
Mm-hmm. Okay, it's
dumpster fire.
That is bad. But
listen, when you put out like 45 albums, you're going to have a bad one.
I'm not saying they're bad.
You're going to miss one.
I'm not saying they're bad. I'm just saying I don't know if I'd put them at one as the
They have a number one.
They're not my 101 American rock band.
They have a number one on every CD. Now, it's mainly because they put Unforgiven on like 40 of the 45.
But how do you not? Great song.
It is a great song. They've had several like just iconic songs. And once again, if you really start thinking about who your favorite bands are, a lot of them are international. When you didn't really, until you really think about it, you're like, wow, they are Canadian. You're right. They are from Great Britain. Okay, makes sense.
Good stuff, man. Silverchair, can't put them in there.
So, I mean, it ends up leaving like Korn and Tool, and Tool's, they're solid bands, really.
Not Korn.
I always like Korn.
Then you got to throw Madonna in. Oh, wait a minute. She talks with an accent.
She's from Michigan.
She's British.
Is she from Michigan?
She's British and British.
She married a Brit.
Yeah.
Good for her.
Guy Ritchie.
Makes is she great still films. With that guy? I don't think so.
It's because no one left in America would touch her.
Probably.
All right. Let's get started. Redraft strategy.
Still already thinking about Dynasty. You're like,
I know. Dynasty's the way to go. But listen, our badge, our artwork does say Redraft, IDP, Dynasty. Because there is a lot of redrafters still out there. We've got to help them out.
We're going to muscle through this.
We're going to muscle through it. We're going to help them out.
Which it's not that different.
I play one redraft a league. I'm not going to lie. We're going to get in the Sleeper Bot Pro-Am again. That's redraft. Charity stuff. We got to talk redraft here and there.
It's basically your veterans have more value. That's all.
Yes.
Yeah.
Which I still value Dynasty kind of the same way, just because I want to win now. But
I mean, the thing is, in Dynasty, you're probably going to let a Larry Fitzgerald sit way, 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 way longer historically than you would have in a redraft. So
yeah.
Anyhow,
basically. So Arms, do you have any off the top redraft strategy that you would like to share?
Quarterback last, zero QB, absolutely every time. Listen, I understand Patrick Mahomes seems like he's going to be another type of quarterback that we've never saw before, but there is a ton of value that can be had in the 10th, 15th, 17th round of a draft. I mean, I've went in leagues and finished, leading the league in scoring, and literally had a backup running back, a backup wide receiver, and a backup tight end before I went quarterback.
Well, let's talk about this then, because this is a good starting point to me. I agree with you 100%. I don't know about quarterback last, but I mean it's not late. It's not a bad strategy at all, because one, Matthew Stafford, we talk about him all the time. I know that he was not that great last year, but right now he's a 10th rounder.
Perfect.
And we're talking 12 team, 16 rounds. He's a 10th rounder. So that's good value. Why would you take a Patrick Mahomes in round one? Because that's where you got to go.
Yep.
You got to take him round one.
I guess the way I look at that is, okay, I could have Patrick Mahomes, or I can have Odell Beckham Jr., Michael Thomas, right?
Yes.
In the first round. And then whenever I start looking at who's my other wide receiver going to be, you know, if I'm looking at taking Mahomes there, so who becomes my – at that point kind of becomes your wide receiver three, right? So I go dropping wide receiver three to what? I mean, as much as I like Curtis Samuel, but Curtis Samuel, you know, or I'm taking shots at DeeDee Westbrook or Emmanuel Sanders. Like, why?
Yeah.
Why? I mean, that's kind of the drop you see versus the drop from Patrick Mahomes. It's drastic, well, no doubt about it.
It is.
But the gap.
But will it be again? Will it be again this year? Is it still going to be that drastic, you think? Like,
it's going to be. I still think it's going to be a wide margin, but I don't think the difference between the number one quarterback and the 15th quarterback will be nearly as big of a gap between the number one wide receiver and the 33rd wide receiver.
Right. Well, here's something I noticed from the get-go. Pat Mahomes' average ADP right now between 8 and 12. That's the first round. Then you got a guy like Baker Mayfield that's currently a fourth rounder.
Yeah.
Let me draft running back, wide receiver, running back, or whatever order you want. Two RBs, a wide receiver, two wide receivers, an RB, whatever, and take Baker Mayfield in the fourth.
See, I'm more of a zero running back guy. Unless I've got the first three picks, I'm not taking a running back.
I don't hate that.
Recently, I was in a draft, and I had pick 16, 116, and 201. I went wide receiver, wide receiver. Come back.
You can find backs with value.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you can get – I mean, I ended up getting Geis, Lamar Miller, and Deonta Foreman.
I don't know about that Lamar Miller guy, but
– I picked up Foreman.
Okay.
So I've got the running back in Texas. But it's – I tend to go wide receiver heavy.
I'm okay with that, because if you don't have – I agree with you.
You can get a Kenyon Drake, Rashad Penny. You're going to get people who put up enough points, but you're going to have those elite receivers to carry you through.
Why take Lev Bell, who goes between picks 10 and 14, when you could double up on receiver and grab a Dalvin Cook later or a Marlon Mack later?
Right.
Like, to me, it's a good strategy.
Or even Devonta Freeman, who's fallen – a lot.
I got a different opinion on that guy.
But if we're talking about the gap they once have, again. Yeah, so yeah, we're saying
I totally 100%.
Their linemen are all first round picks.
We're to the point now where we're talking about the eighth running back. You know, that's what he's trying to say. The eighth to tenth running back, something in that range.
Yeah.
The gap between him and Devonta Freeman, not that big. The gap between, you know, Saquon and CMC and Zeke, yeah, that's a chasm. But the gap between, you know, James Conner, you know, I know James Conner had a hell of a year last year, but overall the gap between James Conner and Devonta Freeman, if I'm ending up with Freeman as my, you know, running back two, I'm not upset about it.
Right.
I'm a hater, I guess. But I do understand the strategy. It makes perfect sense to me. I just Devonta Freeman's one of my hands-off guys. Only reason I chimed in there. But if you want to replace the terminology with Josh Jacobs.
Okay.
I'm good. I'll take Josh Jacobs later and grab those two wide receivers at the top of, or at the back end of round one and top of round two all day long. No problem.
And more than anything, we're not sitting here telling you you need to go wide receiver.
No.
Take the best player available.
Just don't go quarterback. Don't take Patty Mahomes number one.
There you go.
Right.
I mean, I'll be honest with you. Unless it's super flex. But
yeah, even still,
No, I'm with you. I'm just saying that would be the only argument for Patty Ice in the first round, in my opinion, is it's got to be super flex.
I think Patty Mahomes in round one is valid. I just don't like it myself. Okay. I don't think any of the three of us like it.
But let me ask you this. Every year we all get into a redraft league with someone who takes Aaron Rodgers in the first 10 picks.
Oh, yeah.
Does that guy ever win? I mean, it's rare. He's got a hit.
This is a little different. Aaron Rodgers has never threw 50 touchdowns.
I understand that, but for years he was the consensus number one quarterback.
Because he was consistent.
Patty Mahomes
is like next level of fantasy production.
I think he's going to be a stud from here on out. I do too,
and I would not take him in round one. So don't get me wrong, but I'm not going to crucify a guy if he uses the last pick or next to last pick in round one on Patty Mahomes. I think it's a bad strategy, but I don't think it is 100% just failure.
I
think he could still, if he drafts well after that, it could work out, but you have to draft well after that.
You've got to hit. I mean, you've got to get some hits on your running backs and wide receivers in order to get a quarterback that early.
Well, you got to get lucky.
Exactly.
You know, you have to have the wide receiver, you know, a rookie wide receiver, second year potential breakout guy,
right,
actually break out.
You got to hit some of those sleeper guys.
Yes, absolutely. And don't get me wrong, whenever I'm saying, well, you know, how often does that guy win? They do on occasion. Someone can get Kareem Hunt, right? They can get a rookie Kareem Hunt. I get it. Yeah, I watched him in college. Okay. But you're kind of getting lucky picking up a Kareem Hunt in the fourth, fifth round. Versus, you know, because you got a Aaron Rodgers in the first. Like, you're getting lucky at that point.
So that leads me right. We can continue with both strategies real quick. So, Arms is not liking the QB, so you're passing on names like Deshaun Watson and Andrew Luck that are going late round two, early round three. Passing on those guys,
absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely. Now, if one of them started falling down into the fourth, one of those guys?
Right.
Then that does change my tune a little bit.
Which is where Baker's at. And Baker threw almost 30 touchdowns as a rookie. So I'm not hating him as a fourth.
He didn't play 16 games.
10, 11 games?
Nope. Yep.
Now, after Baker is where it gets dicey. Like, I like Matt Ryan. Matt Ryan's a fifth rounder. Then you got names like Carson Wentz. Kyler Murray, sixth. Oddly enough.
You got Cam in the sixth.
Hello,
Kyler?
I'm all hands off, Cam, be honest with you.
And then it goes to Jameis
Winston.
I
think he's still going to be just as good. I mean, DJ Moore's going to have a good year. Samuel's going to keep getting targets and doing things with him. I have no worries about Cam Newton. If I can get him in the sixth, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
But let me throw this right back to you. You can get Kirk Cousins in the eighth. You can get Philip
Rivers in the sixth.
You can get Jimmy Garoppolo in the ninth.
Sorry, eighth. No, eighth. Philip Rivers in the eighth. So
I like Mitch Trubisky, too.
I don't mind Mitch. So listen, you don't grab Patty Mahomes or you miss out on Baker in the fourth or one of those other guys slips, just wait. You got a chance to grab six or seven guys.
Well, hey, Big Ben's going in the eighth. Redraft? You know he's going to be good this year.
Yeah, absolutely.
And a lot of people don't even realize this because all the fire that, you know, came out of Mahomes' arm last year, Ben Roethlisberger threw for more yards than he did.
Well, he threw 675 times. Yeah. That was a ton. They're not going to throw that much this year.
Give me that.
But they're going to throw a lot.
95 times more than Patrick Mahomes, which is just insane.
Which they might knock off 95 attempts this year.
Very well could.
And again, one of the last quarterbacks drafted in redraft right now, like bottom third, is Matthew Stafford. Matthew Stafford is proven. Last year was rough. Doesn't mean it's going to be rough again.
Yeah, but they look at the injuries on that team.
T.J. Hawkinson's there now.
Yep.
You've got third-year Galladay.
Kerryon Johnson, Jones. Who's very viable in the passing game.
Yeah.
The outlaw, Jesse James, he's up there.
Danny Amendola.
Hey, don't discount. Danny Amendola's locker room presence.
He's not a bad receiver.
Teaching some of these young guys how to play the NFL
game. Brandon
Powell
taking over Golden Tate's spot.
The slot, he's kind of a touted rookie. They said he's going to be good. Yeah. We'll see.
I hope so.
But now let's flip it real quick. Lambert's strategy. So I assume if you could get Barkley, CMC, Zeke, or Kamara, you're in, right?
Absolutely.
Does it cut off when you get to Melvin Gordon midway through the first round? Is that where your cutoff is? Is that where you're going?
Yeah, I think so.
Devontae Adams or Hopkins or Beckham?
Yep. Oh, yeah.
Okay. That's where it is for me, too. I'm not.
If I can get one of those superstars, I mean, Kamara, Zeke, CMC, Saquon, I want those guys.
Yeah.
But if I have the five pick, then I'm taking
Hopkins or Devontae Adams.
Yep.
Yeah. See, Melvin Gordon, Le'Veon Bell, they're first rounders right now.
David Johnson.
I'm not comfortable.
Nope. Mixon, Connor, Gurley all the way down at 18. I'd probably take him at 18.
I like the Mixon in the second round. If I can nab Mixon in round two, I'm in all day on that. Especially since it's almost mid-round.
Out of the first-round running backs, right now you've got David Johnson going at ninth. Okay, his ADP is ninth overall.
I don't hate it. I like Lambert. I like the wide receivers there.
That's what I was going to say. Like, I'm instead of David Johnson, who's had injury concerns. He had the one great year, and it was great. I mean, led all running backs in fantasy production. But like, there's been injury concerns, and last year he wasn't great. He was solid. He wasn't great. I mean, I'm even passing on David Johnson, and that's where I'm, you know, going with a Michael Thomas or a Juju.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not going to be mad at you if you take George Kittle at 12th.
Me neither. George Kittle, you're on to something else there. Kittle to me and you, number one tight end in my book.
Yeah. George Kittle is the number one tight end in fantasy this year.
And he's going after Ertz and Kelsey.
The only thing that knocks George Kittle down a little bit, possibly, is the prospect of Tyreek Hill not playing at all this year based on suspension. You know, I know it's going to be Kelsey could just have so many targets, it's insane. So that's a possibility for Kelsey. But, you know, for as much activity as he's going to get, you know, I still think I like Kittle for staying healthy.
There's no wide receiver in San Francisco that scares me away from Kittle. I like Dante Pettis just fine. I love Debo, but Kittle's the guy.
I still think he's the number one there. I see some regression. I think he may flatline. I don't see him growing from what he had this year.
He's still a superstar.
Yeah, but with that being said, Lambert, I believe Kittle had like 5 touchdowns last year. Yeah, 5 touchdowns. You know, he had 88 receptions, 1,377 yards on 135 targets, and only 5 touchdowns. The monster.
I could see
the
receptions staying there. The yards come down a bit, and I could see touchdowns going up.
Yeah,
for sure.
I feel like he's right in, you know, got to be in
there. I'm not saying he should be the number three tight end. I think he is definitely number one or number two just because Kelsey could see volume.
Yeah, I don't hate if somebody puts Kelsey ahead of Kittle, but I do have Kittle one on my board.
So to try to keep it in some sort of order, you know, I mentioned Johnson where I'd pass on him. Look for later on, you know, go wide receiver there later on, try to get a Freeman or, you know, a Nick Chubb or something like that. What do you guys think about Odell Beckham? You comfortable where he's at around 10?
Yeah. I like him at 10.
I'm okay with it too. Because again, going back to a past show, Baker Mayfield is quarterback now. Yeah. I know that Eli's not there to pepper him the ball, but that offense in New York, more 3 and outs than Cleveland's going to have this year. I guarantee it. So, I mean, Odell's going to have just as many opportunities to catch the ball from a better quarterback that can get his team into the red zone. I'm fine with Odell there.
I think according to the ADP here, I might put Julio over him, but I have no problem with Odell at 10.
I put Julio and Michael Thomas and Juju above him, but that's actually more of because I think Baker Mayfield is that much better of a quarterback to where he won't lock on.
Yeah,
like he's going to find who's open. He's getting him the ball. Whether
he is, but you get
Jarvis
Landry
ahead of him. I struggle with that. But
Hall of Fame quarterback.
I'm with you. I get it. Don't get me wrong. Juju is definitely a great receiver, but putting him above Odell, I'm just not comfortable doing it.
I'm close. I've got him real close, but I'm comfy either way. If somebody takes Juju ahead of me and Odell sitting there, I'm okay. I'm not upset.
Right.
I don't have OBJ's, you know, best year in front of me, but it couldn't have been much better than 1,426 yards and 7 touchdowns.
Well, no, and he's never
couldn't
played
be much
a full
better,
season.
You know what
he's
I mean?
He's never played all 16 games either.
Exactly. So, like I said, as we go down, you guys kind of same theory on Le'Veon Bell. Let him, you know, if he falls to you later on, take him.
He's not going to fall. I don't think he'll fall to where I'd grab him, but sure. If he falls to the end of round two and I'm there.
Who you taking, Nick Chubb
gone?
Or Lev Bell?
I really...
Redraft.
Oh, man.
Redraft.
Probably Lev Bell, just because he's safer.
Yeah, I don't know.
Even with the Jets, I think he's safer, but it's...
Even with Gase?
Even with crazy Gase. It's a barely for me, but Lev Bell, we can't forget his passing game chops.
Right.
Here's the thing.
Well, Nick Chubb can catch, too. I mean, granted, they still have Duke Johnson.
Yeah, but the Jets have no one behind Lev Bell that is even close to a threat. It's Ty Montgomery.
Yeah, and he's hot garbage. We all know
that.
Well,
and I like McGuire better than Montgomery, but
yeah, McGuire's there, too.
They say he's on the roster bubble.
He probably is.
Him and Cannon.
And then in Cleveland, you got Duke. Kareem Hunt comes back. I mean, I don't want to get myself in a position where Lev Bell, with his new team, figures it out and becomes Lev Bell of Steelers form weeks 8 through 13. And meanwhile, Chubb sharing with Kareem Hunt. If that happens, I think Chubb will run away with it. Don't get me wrong. But that's just.
If Kareem Hunt comes back in full Kareem Hunt form, he's good enough to make a timeshare with
can't keep him off field.
Yeah, with just about any running back in the league. There's about three or four guys that keep him off field.
That's why I love that Mixon position.
And most of those guys are in Cleveland bars right now.
Exactly. But that's why I love that Mixon position. Like, if I can get Mixon and not have to worry about either one of them,
yeah.
Like, I ain't worried about Bell. I'm not worried about, you know, Chubb if I can lay in Mixon.
Where are you at on Connor? They got Connor right behind Mixon.
Connor's in the conversation. I would still take Connor over Gurley right now. I would take Connor over Dalvin Cook, who's a little behind him at an ADP of 24 easily. I like Connor over Chubb, just redraft. If it's Dynasty, I like Chubb.
Yep.
But I like Connor a lot.
I don't like Dalvin Cook being that high.
No, I don't either.
So he's being drafted at 21. And before we
get average ADP of 24, so 20 to 24.
Well, I'm just going down the. Yeah, I got you. So I'm actually going to stop right above him, and it's Zach Ertz with an average ADP of 24, 20th on this list. I'm passing on Zach Ertz right there.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. I've got written pass.
Goddard's going to start eating some targets.
Okay, so that's what I'm saying. Like hard pass. Goddard, our Sega Whiteside. I just feel like it. I don't.
This is Alshon's second year. Third year in Philly.
But I just feel like when you see what's sitting there, you know, and you can get a few picks later, Kittle, or you can have Antonio Brown, you know, if you're going to go for a quarterback and you've still got, you know, Andrew Luck sitting there, possibly Deshaun Watson sitting there, like, even though I'm a pass on a quarterback kind of guy, if I know I can get another solid quarterback, you know, all the way down in the fourth round, I can get O.J. Howard.
Yeah,
like I'll let what I believe is going to be a regression on Ertz this year. I'll let someone else, you know, take the shot at him and bolster a different position, address it later. Address tight end a little bit later. So.
I'm digging it. I like
it. Yeah, I'm definitely. I like Ertz. Like if I didn't get a tight end, if I didn't grab Kittle or Kelsey, and Ertz is still there at the end of round three, and I'm happy with my draft and don't like anyone else, I might be taking him, but. There's some tight ends that are on my radar that I'd be okay missing out on.
I feel like I feel like after if you miss on Kittle and Kelsey, it's pretty much just it's waiting at that point.
Don't panic and grab Ertz.
Yeah.
No.
I mean, if you see somebody go bam, knock Kittle out, take Kelsey, don't feed into it. Don't try and get a run of tight ends going. Don't panic and try and get Ertz just because he's...
And listen, I think we can admit this might be more of a dynasty strategy. I mean, redraft, I am still comfortable with Ertz. I don't think Goddard's going to be the guy.
No, I'm not saying he's going to be the guy. I'm just saying they're going to run more two tight end sets, and Goddard's going to get some catches.
And they got Deshaun Jackson now.
Yeah,
I'm not saying Deshaun Jackson's a world beater.
They have a running game. They got Sanders and Howard now.
They've got a fuller team to where Ertz isn't going to have to be leaned on. He could turn back into Ertz of 2 years ago.
Yep.
It could be more of a complimentary thing than the whole offense.
What I look at with Ertz sitting there is who's around him that's got value, and then I just scroll all the way down to pick 106 and see Vance McDonald sitting there without all the Antonio Brown targets.
That is not where I was going.
And and there's no Jesse James there anymore. And all of a sudden you've got Vance McDonald, you know, somewhat featured in that offense. I know he's a little bit down the list, but, you know, bolster other positions and pass on Ertz. That's just my thought. I'm passing on Ertz in the first two rounds, easy.
I'm always trying to win a position.
Yes.
So if I can get one of those top four running backs, obviously I'm winning that position, the RB1.
Yeah.
Don't get me
wrong.
Tight end, most of the time I punt that. Just because if I can win a wide receiver two or wide receiver three, if I can beat every team in the league with one of on that position, then I'm comfortable punting.
Yeah, if you're winning running back and you're winning wide receiver,
yes,
you're winning the game.
Yes.
Well, and if you don't punt it completely, which I'm okay punting it completely. Well,
when I say punt, I mean
the end.
Grabbing like an Njoku or a Vance McDonald. I like Vance McDonald at 106. That's insane.
Well, here's this. You can punt the position for what is almost the first 10 rounds.
Yeah.
You could go Ebron in the 7th, which I'm much more comfortable with than taking Zach Ertz in the 2nd.
Exactly.
You can go Njoku in the 8th, which again, I'm much more comfortable with than taking Ertz in the 2nd.
Jared Cook's just a couple people ahead.
Hawkinson's in the 11th.
Who would you rather have, Cook or Njoku?
Me personally, Cook. Because I still think Cook, I like the landing spot.
Yeah.
I think the talent is fine, not great.
Right.
I'm okay with Cook. Everybody's down on him. I'm okay with it. But give me Hawkinson in the 11th. I'm going to pass. Like,
I mean, further down than him, you've got Noah Fant at an average pick of, 133.
Greg Olson's 146.
Ian Thomas, I think, is the future there, starting now. But far as tight ends go,
I believe the point is that there's more value there that you can pass on Ertz and be okay.
Yes.
So yeah, I won't say punt the position, but I'll wait a long time. I'll let other guys go off the board.
Yeah.
Before I go after a tight end,
I think Hawkinson's going to buck that whole rookie tight end trend. I mean, I think he's going to be fine.
Evan Engram did. I think anymore you're seeing breakouts happen sooner. Tight end's always been a position that you have to wait years.
Yeah.
For a tight end to develop. I mean, look at what Ebron did. He was 5 years in.
Yeah, it took, well, I mean.
Probably an offensive scheme change.
Andrew Luck. The Andrew Luck is literally like, I wish there was a good comp, but he's Yoda.
Yoda.
Yeah, I guess. I was thinking more of like, Andrew Luck is the Black Zilla, and tight ends are thin white girls. Like he. No one loves tight ends like Andrew Luck, just like no one loves thin white girls more than Blackzilla.
Okay.
So, all right.
Anyhow,
Andrew Luck loves tight ends.
And Eric Ebron was fine. Too.
Eric Ebron was great in year one. Right. What's he going to do in year two?
Yeah.
I don't care if Jack Doyle was
hurt. Mo Alley Cox is going to put up points.
Yeah. So, 7th round, Ebron. Yeah, I'll take that over 2nd round Ertz.
Yep.
I mean, heck, 5th round Evan Engram.
I'm not comfy with Evan Engram. In Dynasty, I am.
I can see me redraft falling him a little bit past the 5th, though. That's another thing with him. His actual ADP is 66. I can see him falling from there,
yeah.
Which puts him in the 6th round. So,
What are some surprises looking through the first 3 rounds of the ADP, which the ADP, by the way, we got this from fftoolbox.com, one of my favorite places to get ADP early. You can find it there before you can find it a lot of places. But what is there that's surprising rounds 1 through 3? I personally was kind of surprised that Dalvin Cook was as high as he was. I know a lot of people were high on him. That surprised me. Leonard Fournette still going in the 3rd.
When he plays, shocking. He is so good, though.
Not really.
When he plays, he is a top 12 running back all day long.
Not really.
Yes.
Last year, there was a handful of games he just let you down. He's touchdown dependent anymore.
I don't think so.
If he's not scoring twice, he's not doing much for you. And I worry. I would be worried to death if I drafted Leonard Fournette. Even Damian Williams.
I would take Fournette over Williams, though. The ADP is right here.
Give me Williams.
Really?
But I don't want either one of them in the 3rd.
I'm looking at Amari Cooper sitting at 30th. You know, average ADP of about 34th, but, we're ranking him by,
ahead of Stephon Diggs.
Yeah.
That's shocking.
Ahead of Brandon Cooks. I'm not even comfortable with that.
Ahead of Keenan Allen,
A.J. Green.
Ahead of A.J. Green, which I don't like A.J. Green this year.
I like the volume that Cooper's going to get, but he was inconsistent last year like he has been his entire career.
He will win you several weeks and then turn around and lose the following one for you.
Yep. And that's why I would rather have Diggs, Keenan Allen, even T.Y. Hilton. Brandon Cooks is kind of boom or bust also, but.
Yeah, I mean, but from a consistency standpoint, if they're similar type guys, but one thing Brandon Cooks has done is always got 1,000 yards.
That's true. Yep.
You know,
can't say the same for Amari Cooper.
AJ Green.
Guy, I'm comfortable jumping all the way up to Cooper's spot is Galladay in the fourth. I'm very comfortable moving Galladay all the way up to the high end of the third and passing on Amari Cooper.
Are you passing on Thielen for Galladay?
No.
Okay.
Here's what I see.
But I got Galladay right behind him and Diggs.
Okay.
So I've
above Keenan Allen?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. I like Mike Williams a lot.
Okay.
And I'm worried about
that offense. See, I'm taking Keenan Allen over Galladay, and I love Mason Galladay. You know I love Mason Galladay.
But Hunter Henry's back.
Oh, no, I get
Melvin Gordon catches passes. Mike Williams is going to break out. Eckler's there. Galladay is like numero uno in Detroit to me, and I want that. I want those targets.
I tend to agree, but back to Amari Cooper, so I can pass on him in the third and still get Calvin Ridley or Chris Godwin in the fifth?
Look at my notes. Ridley capitalized. Godwin capitalized. Fifth capitalized. There is where if you want to go running back rounds one and two, and then in round three grab your tight end, if you're able to grab Ridley and Godwin as your two wide receivers, wow. I'm okay with that.
Yep.
Yeah, like there's a strategy.
That would win your wide receiver two, wide receiver three, those two guys.
Yeah, maybe one and two.
Mm-hmm.
Like I'm fully behind Calvin Ridley 100%.
Yeah. I think with Calvin Ridley and Chris Godwin, we're looking at two 90-plus catch guys, two 1,100-yard receiving, and probably at or near double-digit touchdowns.
They seem to use Godwin a lot in the red zone last year.
Yeah, and Godwin, there's so many targets up for grabs in Tampa Bay.
It was like 105 that went away with Humphreys.
And you may not be able to say that for the Ridley side of that, but the guy's going to be elite. The talent is going to overpower the options in Atlanta, in my opinion. Ridley and Godwin, if you can come out of your draft sitting pretty at running back and tight end before round four and five, and you nab Ridley and Godwin, I give you a 70% chance to win your league.
Oh, you're definitely doing fine.
Yeah.
Not great. You know, 70%, it's kind of like a Sex Panther thing. Like you're going in your league 100% of the time, 70% of the time. But it's a strategy, nonetheless.
So tell me about in the third and even moving down into the fourth, you've got Kerryon Johnson, you've got Marlon Mack. A lot of people don't like Aaron Jones.
I don't. And
Josh Jacobs. Those are guys that I'm targeting. Is that y'all can have Dalvin Cook. I'll take one of those guys and be ecstatic with it. So maybe Aaron Jones finishes with more games played than Dalvin Cook, which is very likely.
So I'm worried about it still being a committee in Green Bay.
I am too.
That's my only hitch on Jones.
Jones is kind of a hard pass for me right now. He's in Devontae Freeman territory, and it's not. I'd rather have Jones than Freeman,
but I'm still worried. Or Derrick Henry.
Derrick Henry.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think they're going to commit to him.
I'll trade back out of that pick.
But
I mean, I would rather have AJ Green. I mean, if I'm sitting in the fourth and I've got Aaron Jones, AJ Green, and Derrick Henry staring at me, I'm taking AJ Green.
I love Marlon Mack and Josh Jacobs sitting there that late.
Absolutely. Like, in the third and fourth round.
I'd pass over Damian Williams, Leonard Fournette, Dalvin Cook, who else? Aaron Jones, I'd pass over him. Easy. I'd pass on Kerryon for those two guys.
I don't know about Kerryon. I would. But what I will say is, guys, we're not telling you to reach into the second round to get Josh Jacobs or Marlon Mack.
No, we're telling you to wait. Be patient.
Yeah, be patient. Those guys, based on ADP, they should be there. So that's where, if you're bolstering your wide receiver position, let's say you got a solid running back at the first spot. The next two rounds, you go wide receiver. In the fourth round, you've still got, Josh Jacobs possibly. I'm not the biggest fan, but Derrick Henry's still sitting there. Like, don't worry about stretching out there to, I've got to take Dalvin Cook because he's there in the third. No, you don't.
Yeah. And another way of putting it, Dalvin Cook, Damian Williams, Leonard Fournette, Marlon Mack, Aaron Jones, Josh Jacobs, Kerryon Johnson could all end up in the same exact tier at year's end. So why reach for a Dalvin Cook when you could grab somebody just as good almost two rounds later? That's the strategy. That's you got to pass on some of these bigger names and take the chance on the Marlon Mack or the Josh Jacobs. Or
I mean, it becomes the best player available situation. You know, don't reach for a guy. Just take the best player available. I feel like
Sony Michel even.
Yeah, Sony Michel. What's he going in the fifth round?
Fifth round.
Yep.
Fifth round. Good Lord. I mean,
David Montgomery, fifth round. I mean, there's Philip value. Lindsay
is in the fifth round.
Yep. Darius Geis is in the sixth.
Mark Ingram in the sixth. I mean, listen. I don't know.
Ingram doesn't tickle my fancy at all. But
we're not just trying to throw names at you. Cohen does. We're just explaining.
Miles Sanders in the seventh.
I like it.
We're just explaining why being patient. You know, instead of reaching for. Well, ADP says it's
take
this
the
guy.
Known commodity. Don't take. I mean, there's still questions around Dalvin Cook.
Correct.
That's the reason I'm not taking him that high. Take someone you know is going to produce.
Yeah, I mean Dalvin, Kerryon. You could have a Kenny Golladay.
Take your chances later. Cooks. Take your chances later.
Correct.
You could have AJ Green. I mean, there's decisions that you can round off better. Like you can take an AJ Green and later grab a guy that if he goes down could step right in like Tyler Boyd did last year. Maybe it's a Josh Malone. Maybe it's a dude from Florida State, tall.
Auden Tate.
You just never know. Yeah. I mean, you could grab a guy. You could grab protection for nothing, but you can't grab running back protection for nothing. If you draft Dalvin Cook, you better take Alexander Mattison round 8, 9, or 10.
Yep. Yeah, because someone's going to do it to you if you don't.
You draft Fournette, you better grab
Rickwell Armstead.
Armstead.
But if you draft A.J. Green, you can grab his possible replacement off waivers.
Yeah.
I mean, if you really want to protect him. But some of the running backs you have to protect. Well, like you said, Lamar Miller, Dante Foreman.
Yeah.
What are you spending on Foreman? I mean, you got to grab him in the last three or four rounds. Yep. He's not a free agent.
No.
Strategy.
So,
got some strategy.
As I'm working my way down the list here, you know, I see AJ Green at 41. I don't hate the spot for him, but for me, there's still Robert Woods after Kenny Golladay after. I mean, I'll pass on all shares of Tyreek Hill for multiple reasons this year. I feel like there's more trouble coming.
Edelman is a producer.
Edelman,
even with N'Keal Harry coming in, I mean, Edelman's still going
to
produce.
Even to go a few rounds later,
Round four for Edelman, though, at his age.
Oh, I think it's high. I'm just saying he's going to produce.
But as long as he don't age out.
Once again, then after those guys, you still have Tyler Lockett, who's going to get a lot of targets this year. You know, Ridley, Godwin, as we said, Cooper Kupp's going 62 right now. I mean, this 62nd player off the board on average. Come on.
Yeah, that's insane. I had him start as well. Like, that's an atrocity. Tyler Boyd at ADP of 74? That's ridiculous. Like, you tell me you're going to pass on Tyler Boyd for names like Sammy Watkins, DJ Moore, Tyler Lockett. Tyler Lockett's the most disgusting thing I see on this ADP.
He's efficient.
I'm sorry. Is he?
In a run-heavy offense.
He got a fluky 10-touchdown season on 50-some catches.
Oh, no, I get it. I'm not on the Lockett train.
Like, round four for Tyler Lockett. Are you kidding me? He's going ahead of Ridley and Godwin right now.
That's crazy.
That's disgusting.
Yes.
I know there's Lockett
fans out
there.
He's not even the best wide receiver on their team.
Pass it's on Metcalf. Lockett unless he has a 3-4 round
Don't
fall.
Don't start with May Arms.
What?
It's Metcalf.
Zacharias?
DeKalen Zacharias? No, he's not. He's one trick pony. Anyhow, but yeah.
Something else I'd like to get into. Arms, you're saying take best player available.
Yes.
I get behind that 100%. You know why? Because you're drafting in June, July, August. August is kind of late. You want to be you obviously want to get your drafts going before then. But you are not weak at a position in the offseason. So do not think, I have to get a running back here. I have to get a wide receiver here. I have to get a tight end because I don't have one. No, you don't. You can trade later.
Exactly.
Take the best player available, and then once your lineup's filled out, say, okay, now I can start working some trades, start filling in holes where I need them.
Yeah, and you can play that trade game. You can grab that third running back that's a running back two with all intentions of upgrading a
position. Not even keeping him.
Yeah. That's one of my strategies, too. I just don't like doing it a lot. I like doing it with, like, one player. Grabbing one guy that kind of screws someone else to where they're like, dang it, now I don't have a running back, too. Yeah. Well, you will when we're done trading.
Or even if you know someone in your league wants someone.
Arms.
Really bad.
Arms.
You grab that guy. And later on, you think how you can upgrade a position that you have by dealing this guy.
You love carry on. I traded you carry on
for like 106 in this year's rookie draft.
It was like 106 and 8. I didn't rip you off by any means. I felt like I came out well.
It worked out for both of you.
I think so too. Like, I'm very high on Miles Sanders. I'm very high on Devin Singletary.
I only say that because I know the team construction. So it worked out great for both of you.
I agree. I'm glad you got your guy.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you know, and I'm glad I got myself two guys that I think can be something, but there's a chance that neither one of them ever become Kerryon Johnson. But it was a good deal for both of us. You got your guy. I got to play around in the draft, which I had no picks. So
I love the, all right, we've got the Browns fan in here, and it's, you know, okay. So I'm going to take Baker about, you know, 5 picks earlier than he should. This guy knows he's coming to him, and I go up and nab Baker.
Not a bad strategy there either.
And because a Browns guy is giving the world for Baker.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You know, he may have taken Patrick Mahomes in the first, but you're like, listen, I'll do Baker and Njoku. Give me Patrick Mahomes. Okay. Now, I mean, that's a little bit extreme, but
it's not. I don't think it is. I think that's solid.
No, that's why you play that game.
Yeah. I traded Baker to, I wasn't Bruning, but in another league. Big time Browns fan. Really had to have Baker. I don't remember exactly what I nabbed out of him. I'll figure it out, but you keep on going.
Well, see, that's the thing, too. Whenever you're trying to trade, if you've got guys, get your guy. Who cares what you pay for him? Get your guy. If it doesn't make your team worse, go get that guy.
Yeah, absolutely. One thing I can tell you is, you know, think about the diehard fan bases. Those are the people who are going to give up the world for somebody.
Yeah. Yep.
Like, you're going to end up with Alvin Kamara and something for Zeke. You're like, what? Okay. You're going to give me Zeke Alvin Kamara and something else? A little bit extra? Yeah, sure, I'll do it.
Yeah, so. Be very aware of the teams that are loved by guys drafting behind you.
Yeah. And you're not going to find a lot of Eagles fans who are willing to pay a premium. You're not going to find a lot of, it's like the Browns fans will do it. The Steelers fans a lot of times will do it. The Cowboys fans will always do it. You know, but, I mean, Green Bay fans, MVS is going to be a star. Okay.
That's another guy for me.
That was someone that I thought was a little low.
Underpriced at 137?
I got him marked as a steal, which I'll go through some of my steals here in a bit, but Marquez Valdez-Scantling in round 12, to me, that's a steal. That's a potential wide receiver 3 that you can get in round 12.
So, see, I look for him. I look for him to be over Geronimo. I'm not drafting him above Geronimo.
I am.
I think MVS will do better.
So to recap, we're all going to probably wait on quarterback, okay?
Unless Baker's there in the fourth and I feel like I've had a good draft through 3 rounds. Yeah. Like, I'm very happy with my 2 receivers or my 2 running backs and my 1 of the other.
But do you think Baker's the number 2? You know what I mean? He's not. You know, you got to go with an Andrew Luck.
No, but Luck and Watson are high round 3, back in round 2. So if I can get Baker in 4... I'm okay with that. I probably would strike the iron on Baker.
Where I'm going with this is, for the most part, passing on, not going to reach for a quarterback.
Most quarterbacks. Baker's probably going to get drafted ahead of me, so I'm with you.
And I'll just go to kind of recap through 4 rounds. My passes are going to be Ertz, Cook, Fournette, Williams, Amari Cooper, AJ Green. Those are my first 4 rounds. I'm going to pretty much let all those guys kind of go past me.
I've got a pass on T.Y. Hilton as well.
I'm taking Green above some of these guys.
You're a Bengals fan.
That's not. No, I'm not. I was.
You're still a Bengals fan.
Like, but he's still a top 10 wide receiver.
Is he?
Yes.
Look it up last year.
Come on. Look it up. How many games did he play last year?
I'm just saying.
Look at the previous 7 years.
Yes, now he's old.
He's not that old.
When's the last time?
Antonio Brown. Look at how old he is.
All I'm saying is with A.J. Green, it's been like since 2014 since he played a full season.
A.J. Green is still a top producer.
If he's healthy.
If I can get him in the fourth, yes, I'm ecstatic.
Okay. Whenever he's sitting there in the fourth, I'll gladly take Chris Godwin a few rounds later or a round later.
Right, and I'm going to have 12 people between A.J. Green and Chris Godwin where they scored.
All right.
Wide receivers.
This was kind of risky on my part. The Baker Mayfield trade I was talking about.
Here, I thought you fleeced him.
I didn't fleece him. But I did land pick 104. Now, roster makeup again. I landed pick 104 and Lamar Jackson for Baker. That doesn't sound that great.
Yeah, it does. I feel does like it? You have... Wait, you have Baker? Or
he had Baker.
Oh, you had Baker.
He dealt Baker for Lamar,
the 104. Right.
Nope, no
luggage. But listen, I dealt Baker to get 104 and Lamar Jackson. My other quarterbacks are Drew Brees, Dwayne Haskins. So, I mean, Brees is the now. Lamar and Haskins are the future. And with pick 104, I believe someone slipped to me. I'll find that out later, but...
Well, it's not Harry, it's not Jacobs, so you're going to get a Singletary.
Or
Montgomery.
Sanders.
What kind of league doesn't designate the R beside the rookies in my fantasy league? What's that all about?
Rookies.
Designate it.
Sounds like a rookie commish.
No doubt.
Get your crap together.
Yeah.
So, anyhow, so as far as steals, as we're moving, you know, in the fourth round, obviously you're still paying for premium players, so to speak. Get steals in the fifth, sixth, seventh round. I mean, as we already discussed, Ridley, Godwin. I think Ingram, you know, probably right around where he should be at 60th. I like Darius Geis at 64th. I do think that
I'm with you.
I think yeah. Mike Williams at 66 is probably a little bit of a steal.
I would honestly put Mike Williams up around Godwin.
Yeah.
I mean, lower, obviously, but I'd still put him up there.
He should be in the conversation. I will tell you.
So the ADP has Hunter Henry at 65, Mike Williams at 66. I don't see grabbing Hunter Henry before Mike Williams.
I was getting ready to say
it's a proven commodity against someone coming off, you know,
every injury every year.
Yeah.
Like I'm going to completely pass on Hunter Henry. I've said it in a previous episode. Prove you can be healthy. That's all I'm asking. If you can prove you can be healthy, there's a lot of guys came in the NFL who were studs in college or have had one hit wonder type years and have never been able to put it together after that. If we take out the one, I think he had like a 10 touchdown year. Other than that, Hunter Henry's done nothing in the NFL except for be injured and give a lot of fantasy owners a lot of hope and a lot of disappointment.
Yep.
So I will absolutely pass, and that's where I'm going to take. You know, Njoku way later, or Vance McDonald way later.
I like Cooper Kupp sitting at 62. I mean, I know we already touched on it, but in the sixth round, Cooper Kupp, absolutely.
Another steal that I can't even find him now. He's so far down. Oh, James White at 70?
Yes, that's who I was going to talk about next. If you're playing PPR, James White is right there at 70. Come on. That when you go zero running back, you get your three stud wide receivers. James White's who you're going to target. James White, Kenyon Drake. I mean, you're playing PPR. James White is a monster.
He is. I'm a little scared of him this year, though.
But I'm not.
Going on the zero running back bandwagon here, so let's say that you take your first three rounds as wide receiver. You could, in theory, end up with, you know, David Montgomery or Sony Michel and Darius Geis or James White, like a combination Phillip of those Lindsay. Guys. I'm not going to say you're going to be ecstatic about your running backs, but you're going to be so far they're ahead salvageable. Wide receiver.
Yeah.
And those guys have a ton of upside. I mean, Chris Carson very quietly had over 1,000 yards and I believe over 10 touchdowns last year. Nobody wants to give Chris Carson any love, but at the end of the day, he was the best running back all year long for the Seattle Seahawks.
Yep.
Nobody talks about him. I mean, he finished, it was nine touchdowns. what more? 1,151 yards. He only had 247 carries. I mean, it's not like he got Zeke-type carries. He was 50 shy of Zeke. I mean, I don't think Carson just completely relinquishes the job. I mean, let somebody, you know, let somebody go after Rashad Penny. I would, if I was going to get Carson, I'd like to have both of them. But you know what? As of right now, Chris Carson's still the starting running back in Seattle.
Yeah. It's going to be a committee, but they're still going to be the team that runs the ball the most. Yeah. That's all there is to it.
Especially without Doug Baldwin. That's why I don't. That's another reason I don't like Lockett. Like, Rashad Penny's going to be fine. Carson's going to be fine when healthy.
Yep.
Travis Homer is like a sleeper.
Yeah.
Of somebody that could actually, you know, if Chris Carson goes down, Travis Homer could be relevant. There's just, it's Seattle.
Yeah. Well, that's all.
Something we also have to realize is, okay, Lockett is not Doug Baldwin. He's not as good as Doug Baldwin. Baldwin was the de facto number one there. Do you think that Lockett's going to be able to break away from a cornerback one? You know, if you're in theory focusing on him, do you think that that's going to be, you know, someone that the opposing defenses are have to double cover? No. No. One-on-one lockdown coverage with three quarters of the freaking cornerbacks in the league, the number one cornerbacks on team, are going to shut down Tyler Lockett.
I agree.
Can we also talk about Dak going ahead of Drew Brees?
Ugh.
Dak, don't get me wrong, consistent top quarterback.
After
going ahead of Drew Brees?
After getting Amari Cooper, he ended up, after the Cooper trade, as like the sixth quarterback in fantasy for the rest of the year. I'll give Dak credit where it's due.
He's consistently in the top 10. But Drew Brees is consistently in the top five.
Yeah, I don't see it. That's where I start. If I can't get one of the big three or four.
He's going before Big Ben.
Yeah, if I can't get one of the number, two, three fantasy quarterback last year?
Yeah.
But if I can't get one of those, you know, big two or three that I'm, you know, in love with, there's Mahomes, Luck, Watson,
and you know Dak's going to be late. Someone's going to get him late because he doesn't get the respect he deserves. He does deserve respect, but
it's not just a lot. But it's just a very unsexy pick at quarterback.
Absolutely.
It's like solid. Like you're going to get solid
Romo
numbers.
Was never a sexy pick either.
Yeah, but I was never a Romo owner.
I mean, it's socks at Christmas. It's functional. You needed it.
Yeah.
But guess what? You weren't happy to get it.
No. It wasn't that big bang gift that put, you know, all the other gifts to shame. It was practical.
Yeah. You're like, yay, socks. I mean, and it's going to win you some games. I get it. I'll pass on Dak. He's got to really fall to me.
But whenever the strategy that I use, I'm looking for people that are going to keep me in games. I'm not looking for a late round quarterback to win me a game. I'm looking at him to not lose me a game. Just keep me in it. Let my studs carry me through.
But again, Dak or Ben Roethlisberger a full round later.
It's not even close.
Well,
it's Ben.
Yeah, Dak or Trubisky, they're on nearly even playing field to me with the weapons.
I like Trubisky.
I'll take Trubisky.
Yeah.
I like Trubisky too. Kirk Cousins or Dak, give me Cousins.
Give me Cousins. Yeah.
All day.
Yeah. Lamar Jackson with his legs a full two rounds later.
Who are you taking, Josh Allen or Lamar Jackson? I like Allen.
It's so
personally.
Tough.
That's just a personal opinion.
It's tough. Probably Allen because
I think
he looked pretty good
as
a runner, and I think he's more of an aggressive downfield passer. So probably Allen by a hair.
I think there's going to be so much progression out of Lamar Jackson this year.
What's funny is Darnold's behind both of them.
Should be, I think.
I agree. But I mean, he was supposedly the better quarterback. And right now, I think they're on an even playing field as far as like.
I think they're in the same tier.
Yeah, same tier. Absolutely. Which one of them could break out real life football?
But I think the rushing floor of Lamar Jackson and Josh Allen is what puts them above Sam Darnold.
But you're going to say the Russian quarterback? Chikatilo after passing the ball down the field.
So he throws a soft, shameful ball.
I feel like, you know, everyone is in love with Josh Allen this year. And I think he showed well.
No better than Love.
He had eight rushing touchdowns last year. But let's just be realistic. Like, he's not going to rush for 100 yards several times this year. LeSean McCoy was garbage last year.
And he's going to be garbage this year.
But they addressed running back in this year's draft.
Devin Singletary, baby.
You know, there is opportunity for other people to actually run the damn football. It doesn't have to be Josh Allen getting 90 yards and hurdling people. You don't want your franchise quarterback doing that.
No.
They're going to tell
him. Doesn't mean he's going to do that every time.
But that's what I'm saying. The floor. Like, I feel like the floor is that's not his floor. You know what I mean? 400 yards rushing might be realistic. I want to say he had something stupid like 600-700 yards rushing last year.
It was good.
Oh, no, he had a heck of a year, but I just don't see him duplicating on the ground what he did last year. He had 630 yards rushing last year on 89 attempts and had 8 rushing touchdowns. That is not happening again.
Probably not. Arms, give me some other names. Surprising, whether you think they're a steal ADP-wise or whether you think it's just too early to take them. What's some other guys you got?
So, to move on to the 9th, 10th, 11th round.
I see your pin on my boy Courtland Sutton.
So, Courtland Sutton, average ADP of 101.
That's insane.
Like, the guy is kind of the de facto number one. I understand that Joe Flacco is not a great quarterback. But realistically, outside of Steve Smith, when's the last time he had what you would consider a really solid receiver? I believe that Sutton looked solid. Okay.
Sutton is a number one technically on that team, and you can get Denver's number one at pick 100.
Exactly.
I know he's got Joe Flacco, but some of the wide receivers on this ADP chart have quarterbacks that are just as bad as Joe Flacco.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right.
I mean, there's okay, looking down the list, you've got who? I just saw one and I totally lost him, but Corey Davis. Corey Davis is way higher. And he's got Marcus Mariota. That's not much different than Flacco to me.
It's far worse than Flacco is what it is. I mean, Marcus Mariota consistently since entering the league has been a bottom 25 quarterback.
Give me Sutton at 100.
Damn near every statistical category. He is not a good quarterback.
Sutton at 100 all day over Corey Davis at 73.
I understand that it's, I don't want to say it's rare, but it's not super common for a rookie wide receiver to come in and set the world on fire, but you got N'Keal Harry sitting at 98. Like, I feel like he should be a little bit higher based on, you know, the role he's taken over, because I feel like it's a kind of a dual role that he's going to be taking over with, as I've said before, with replacing Gronk as a red zone threat, Philip Dorsett, Hogan, you know, he's going to get a lot of those targets. So, and of course, Josh Gordon, you know, he's somewhere smoking pot. I guess they're working out together. Gordon's reinstatement, the possibility of that, which I believe is horribly unlikely. That's the only worry you can have for N'Keal Harry. I'm not concerned at all about Josh Gordon ever playing in the NFL again. Not for, you know, affecting another guy's fantasy prospects.
See, I'm still taking Marvin Jones over Harry.
I don't like Marvin Jones.
Oh, come on. The guy's done nothing but produce.
Yeah.
Then a rookie wide receiver. Give me Marvin Jones.
Marvin's another one my hands off, guys. Only because Detroit is veering more towards the run game, and TJ Hawkinson paving the way for the run game. And on play action, you're going to see a lot of Hawkinson. You're going to see a lot of Galladay. Marvin Jones is going to be the guy left out.
Actions speak louder than words. And play
actions to Hawkinson.
I don't believe a damn word you're saying.
I don't believe a damn thing you're
until
saying,
Until they
Lambert.
Start doing it, until they start doing it, I'm picking up Marvin Jones over that N'Keal Harry.
It's okay to be wrong.
And you know what? I'm taking Austin Hooper over Vance McDonald, too, Arms.
Well, I am,
Austin
too.
Austin Hooper is hot garbage.
No, he's not.
Yeah, he is.
No, he's not. He's consistently a
mediocre.
No. Yes. No, he's consistently not consistently top anything. He had like 4 games of top 10 production and like 10 outside the top 15.
And still, the tight end landscape is atrocious.
I hate Austin Hooper, too, but over Vance McDonald, yeah, give me Austin Hooper.
Give me Vance McDonald as the only tight end of consequence in Pittsburgh.
He really hates. He hates.
I think
Austin
at this
Hooper.
Point, he's just doing it to stick to the narrative.
Austin Hooper should get a shirt with Arms' picture on it that says, "He hate me."
He should. That's
I want to get Arms a shirt of Austin Hooper because you know his cheap ass is going to wear it.
Oh, yeah. He wore what sure. did he wear, yeah, he wear the wear other it. Day? He wore a best bucking dad ever.
My kid got me that for Father's Day.
That's great.
There you go. We'll have his kid give it to him.
I'm not cracking on you for wearing the shirt. I'm saying if you can wear that. Let's make his daughter get him an Austin Hooper
Absolutely.
Shirt.
Don't you dare.
There yes. we go.
Listen, if
did Austin, her surgery if I, go okay, by the way?
Well, it wasn't a surgery. It was they anesthesia. Put her to sleep okay. and you took a crayon
That's
out of her.
That's surgery.
There's no cutting. To me, surgery is a cut.
I agree.
She went to sleep. That's surgery.
It's a procedure if you're asleep. Nah. Is colonoscopy surgery?
I've been cut on and not been put to sleep. Is that surgery?
Yes.
I think if you go to sleep, that's surgery.
I disagree. I feel like surgery literally requires cutting.
Yeah. A surgical blade.
It's a procedure if there's no
You
cutting.
Wear a surgical mask to do it. That's surgery.
My daughter did not wear a surgical mask.
Because she was asleep.
Oh, okay.
I don't think the doctor wore a surgical mask to pull a
cut.
I don't know.
I bet he did.
I wasn't in there.
Anyway.
I saw her stuffed animal had one on. So I'm going to guess her doctor did.
Her unicorn did. My sister dressed up her unicorn as a nurse. It was pretty cool, Weber. So anyhow, dropping down the list a little bit, James Washington at the end of the 10th.
James Washington!
Anyway.
I like that high pitch, the holdout.
Thank you.
At pick 120, I think that's an absolute steal. Listen, he may not win the number two job. I firmly believe he will.
I'm taking Curtis Samuel over him, though. You can get Curtis Samuel a whole, six picks later?
Like me some Curtis.
I'm taking Curtis Samuel. He had the same amount of targets as DJ Moore and did more with them. And look where DJ Moore is being drafted.
I like where Lamer's going on that.
Samuel versus DJ Moore?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Arms like Samuel over Moore as well.
I like Samuel over Moore as well. But what I'm saying about James Washington is just the removal of Antonio Brown. Tons of targets, like 140 targets a year just came open in Pittsburgh. Actually, about 200 once you take out Jesse James. And then if we can go ahead and remove
Moncrief's looking
hold
good.
Hold on. We can go ahead and remove 100 for Le'Veon Bell. So we got 300 targets up in the air. Obviously, James Conner's getting some. Jalen Samuel's getting some. But I feel like James Washington's going to get a ton.
Ain't no fun if my homies can't have some.
My homies. Yes. What about Dante Pettis sitting at pick 84?
I think that's a steal as well.
I like
Pettis this year just because I don't think Debo's going to do a whole lot his rookie year. He's going to do something, don't get me wrong.
He's solid. He's probably going to do DJ Moore something. He's probably going to have like 50-some balls, maybe 700 yards.
150, 160 points.
Yeah.
Well, depending on your league scoring. PPR, yeah, I could see him. I could see him putting up some solid wide receiver 3-4 numbers, but I like Pettis there.
I agree with you. I mean, if you can get Pettis there, and if you're three rounds later, and picking up Debo, like you've got the number one there somehow, right?
Yeah, and you can get them both at the tail end of the draft, so. Not tail end, midway through and later.
A steal that I'm looking at, that I'm loving, Anthony Miller in the 13th.
I kind of looked over him. I'm looking that, more at AJ Arcega-Whiteside in the 16th.
Little J-Jaw.
J-Jaw in the 16th.
Do love me some J-Jaw.
I don't know if he'll get much play this year. I think they'll run Aguilar ragged and then trade him, and then I think Sega will get some play.
I think it'll trade him pretty quickly.
My biggest concern with Sega is that his production will not happen early. Like I feel like right. I feel
round
like
you 16.
You've got it. Well, I'm saying early in the season. I feel like you might cut bait on him a little bit early, and come week 5, 6, 7, all of a sudden he starts coming on strong as you know, kind of the number two on that team.
Here's a combo that I like. You can get DeSean Jackson in 14 and Sega in 16.
You're covered.
You're covered. Aguilar is going to be gone. Alshon Jeffrey is inconsistent. And you can't rule out injury.
He's going to have a reception for 75 and a touchdown.
I think with Carson Wentz in that offense, I think DeSean Jackson has himself a really nice year.
Oh, I'm not saying he won't. I'm saying he's going to have games where he'll give you 6 points or 27 points. Like I think
at around 14, I'm good with that.
Boy, yeah, absolutely.
I mean, at round 14, you're literally, that's a backup.
Yep.
Yeah. Now, that, someone I forgot to mention earlier, Chris Herndon, you could have him in the 13th.
Well, which is, yeah. And obviously,
that's,
I don't
probably
think,
a little high.
I don't think he's anything comparable to you know, an O.J. Howard or Zach Ertz. But if you've passed
13th.
I'm making my point.
I don't like it.
If you've passed on those guys, I'm not upset having Herndon as my tight end. I think he's going to have an okay year. I don't think he's going to be top five, but I could easily see him getting into the top 10. And once again, if you miss on the first three, probably really the first four at this point, because I do believe Howard takes a huge step forward. You're in the same spot as everybody else. The difference is you could be way ahead at wide receiver or way ahead at running back.
Got some? Give me some more steals.
So
you got any more steals on there?
So
arms?
I believe Baltimore was top two in rushing attempts in 2018, and you've got Justice Hill sitting at pick 155. You know.
It's a nice upside grab.
I like him as a sneaky PPR
The theoretical, you know, the James White type player that's going to catch a lot out of the backfield. And who knows? I don't think that he's Alvin Kamara, but he has a similar type skill set. If he can be a little bit more elusive than a Mark Ingram.
In a similar situation, right?
Exactly.
Sitting beside Mark Ingram.
You know,
nobody's expecting a whole lot out of Justice Hill. Nobody was expecting a ton out of Alvin Kamara because they had AP.
Right.
AP and Mark Ingram.
Yeah.
I mean, he could very, for next to nothing, very well return huge dividends for you.
Yep.
Because, I mean, let's just say that Justice Hill doesn't get a lot of run, but he gets 8 targets a game.
Great safety blanket for
Absolutely.
Lamar Jackson.
Yep.
Yeah, 8 targets a game all of a sudden in the 15th round. Man. You are ecstatic with 8 targets a game and 5 rushes a game. You know what I mean?
And definitely a guy I'm looking at the end of the draft.
A guy like him could also, you know, chip in on special teams. He might, you know, get you a return touchdown at some point. You know,
it's a stretch.
But my point is there's value to be had there.
Okay, I'll take that.
I'm also looking at Deshaun Hamilton, 184.
Yeah, Deshaun Hamilton.
I mean, that's deep in the draft, and that could be Denver's number one wide receiver.
It's possible.
I mean, when he played after Sanders went down, he played well, and I feel like he could have a big step this year.
And he was a darling of the fantasy community on Twitter. Deshaun Hamilton was one of those guys that everybody had as a sleeper, and for good reason. He is a solid route runner. He is a great hands kid. There's a lot of potential for him to be the next Emmanuel Sanders.
Well, from week 14 on, his lowest targets per game was 8. His lowest receptions was 5. He had 2 touchdowns that time frame. You know, in our league format where it's one full point PPR, lowest game was 9.9. And we're talking about this value at pick 185. I mean, that is just an absolute steal right there.
I couldn't agree more at all. And another guy, Paris Campbell, is going around 135, 133 to 136. We'll say 135. He's already caught the eye of Andrew Luck.
See, they're still pretty excited about Deion Kane, though.
I get that.
I can't wait to see what he does also.
Paris Campbell is going to be everything that they should have made Nyheim Hines be as the season progressed.
Okay.
Like, I really think that they can get it to him.
Manufacture touches.
Yeah.
I'm just worried he's going to end up as a wide receiver 3. I mean, even with Funchess there, I think I like Campbell better than
as Funchess. A wide receiver 3 on the team or in fantasy?
On the team.
Okay. If it was fantasy.
That's my worry. I mean, I could see.
I think Funchess is just if they stick him at tight end and play him and Ebron in 2 tight end sets, fantastic.
Well, then they've got Mo Alie-Cox and Doyle still.
You can get rid of those guys.
You're probably right.
Funchess,
what I'm saying
Ebron,
is you've got Funchess. They're still excited about Deion Kane to see what he can do. They picked him last year. He's got to show him something. But I'm just worried that Paris Campbell, being a rookie, he's not going to come out and do a whole lot. I'm worried about that.
Everything I've seen so far is electric, and we got a steal. In Indy Brass saying, we got a steal.
But it's June, and Devontae Parker is looking good.
No one actually believes that, though. No one actually believes that, though.
Lambert's like,
listen, Devontae Parker may be their best wide receiver, but that's saying nothing.
Okay. What about Matt Breida? 188.
Hands off all San Fran running backs.
Exactly. I mean, you've got Tev, you know.
I get it. I'm just saying that's pretty late.
Yeah.
It is late, but I just feel like if you have a San Fran running back, you almost have to have them all. That's yes. what the killer
but
is.
But then you're guessing at which one you're starting every week.
Exactly.
No, I don't want that headache.
I'm hands off. But
yeah, it's almost
if I need a fourth running back.
Nope.
It's like Brandon. A way crappier version of trying to get all the Seattle running backs or all the New England running backs.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. Okay, there's production to be had there.
If I need that fourth running back, give me LeSean McCoy.
In totality?
Madison, you can get a few picks earlier.
In totality, yes. There's
was going Arm to be saying production. Something just now?
Yeah, go Aaron. Ahead.
I'm just playing. Keep going.
I was just saying, in totality, I feel like, you know, the Shanahan offense has a lot of production from the running back. We all know that. A lot of activity in the passing game. You know, plenty of rushes, fantasy points galore. But I don't think it's all going to be one person.
Split three ways. I don't want that part.
There you go. I mean, okay, let's say Breida is their goal line guy because he's probably, sadly, the best suited to do it out of the three.
He might be the best running back they have.
And also the most nicked up.
Consistently.
But he plays hurt. At least he'll play hurt. Granted, McKinnon couldn't play because...
You got to add Raheem Mostert to the mix, too. He looked good a few times last year.
That's the problem with the San Fran running backs. I mean, in theory, it's Tev Coleman, right?
Yeah.
But in theory, it's Jerick McKinnon last year.
Let me ask you...
If there was two injuries preseason, absolutely. Give me whoever's left standing out of the three.
Let me ask you both a question. Do you like splitting a pizza three ways?
I'd rather have the whole pizza.
How big is
the
pizza?
Yeah, though? Or at least half. But I don't want to split it three ways, and that's San Francisco running back situation.
Yep.
Exactly.
That's a good analogy to throw at fat people.
You're welcome.
Appreciate it.
I agree. A couple other, I don't want to say necessarily steals, but, you know, considering the value, if you basically punted the position, Mark Andrews at pick 168.
Oh, I hate that.
I feel like you could do worse. Isabella, I was going to go there in a second. I think somebody is
in going, the what?
In a second.
In a second. Okay.
Yeah. Somebody's going to lock on.
Royce Freeman, 117.
I like that, too.
But I like that because I still think it's going to be split between those two.
Somebody's going to lock in with Kyler Murray. Someone is going to just...
I love him, but he's way too high right
now. From day one, somebody's just going to be his go-to guy. And if you look back at, you know, the type of guy that Murray was familiar with, it's the fast, quick, you know, quick twitch kind of guy. And honestly, that's Andy Isabella. I mean, he's the most Hollywood brownish player on the team.
That's why I'm kind of hands off on Christian Kirk right now. I love Christian Kirk. I still think
as career, he'll be good.
I do too. But, a dynasty, I would love to have Kirk and Isabella stashed.
Yeah, redraft, no.
No.
And actually, redraft, I might stay away from Cardinals wide receivers, period.
I think I would too.
Yeah.
It's a scary spot to be in.
Yeah.
It really is.
Another guy digging into some of the steals. Just had it. Just lost it. D.D. Westbrook, to me, is a potential steal. I have the initials P.S. by some guys. Dante Foreman, potential steal.
Yes.
D.D. Westbrook, potential steal. Noah Fant, potential steal.
Well, if you look, D.D. Westbrook, don't get me wrong, I'm excited to see what he does this year. But you've got Marquise Lee at 190.
You've always been a Marquise Lee guy.
Just saying. He's there.
Scared.
But late?
I'm scared of him.
He's probably going to be the number one. I like D.D. Westbrook,
though. So as I look at the Jags receiving core, I almost view them as a more upside type situation as the San Fran running backs.
Yeah.
Man, somebody's going to have a good year. Is it going to be D.D.? Is it going to be Keelan Cole? D.J. Chark has elite athletic talent.
They kind of faded him last year. He wasn't even hurt, but they just didn't play him.
But
he's a new coach.
And supposedly the rapport between him and Foles is better than anyone else in Foles, even though Josh Oliver is going to be his main squeeze.
Yeah, so, I mean, there's just...
See, I don't think so.
Love me some Josh Oliver.
There's so many unknowns that it's almost like if you get D.D., you got to get Cole and you got to get Chark and... Because one of them is going to be good.
Whatever D.D. wants.
You're just drawing straws, in my opinion, on these guys. So, now, this is pretty late, but Michael Gallup at 172. That's what I was going to say.
Give me some Noah Brown for free.
Oh, God.
No.
I'll pass on Noah Brown, but, I mean, even at 172, I love Gallup's upside, but I don't like Dak's ability to support two wide receivers. Do you take a shot on Gallup in the kind of the theory that Amari Cooper could go down?
I think so. I think Gallup has the talent. So I think it's not a bad dart throw.
I think you saw it come out last year. Towards the end, they started getting him more playing time.
Yeah.
He's going to break out. I don't think it's going to be a huge breakout. Don't get me wrong. But
no.
I like Gallup.
He's not putting up, 1,500 yards.
No.
But he could easily get you 8, 9.
Yeah.
8, 900 yards, 6, 7 touchdowns.
He's a solid bye week fill in.
Yep.
I'd be comfortable throwing him in for a week or two.
And here's another steal. I apparently had glazed over him all the way to this point, but Devin Singletary at pick 162.
I kind of had him listed as a PS, potential steal.
I don't think that's a potential steal. I think that's an absolute steal.
I think it's a potential steal. He's still a rookie. You've got T.J. Yeldon, LeSean McCoy. I'm not saying either one of those guys are going to be good, but they are in the way currently until he shows that he clear cut is better than those veterans. But being a rookie running back is
not the same as whole bunch being of trash a rookie cans,
no, it's not.
Wide receiver or tight end.
No, it's there's not.
You're not waiting. That position you can step right in and immediately produce.
But we're still talking about him being on a team with LeSean McCoy, who's going to
get to beat out 2 37-year-olds and a guy who's never handled a full workload.
Hey, I'm a Devin Singletary fan. I'm just saying he doesn't have a 100% path to playing
time.
So
you don't want
immediately.
You don't want him at pick 162?
Maybe. It depends on how my draft went.
Oh, my God.
Maybe. If he's sitting there at pick 150...
I'm an owner.
Like I'm trying to trade up to
I'm
get
an owner.
To him.
Yeah,
I'm an owner, but they could play the safe card with him. I love Devin Singletary.
He's a running back. You don't play safe with running backs. They got a 4-year shelf life.
Listen,
you hand him the rock and you feed it to him. You run him into the ground like they did with Eddie George, and then you ship him off and get somebody new.
I'm going to give you my one fear. If there's one situation in the league this year that mirrors a situation like last year, Tampa Bay with Ronald Jones, it's Devin Singletary in Buffalo. I love him, and I drafted him.
Ronald Jones has the vision of a 90-year-old cataracts patient.
Okay.
That's harsh.
He couldn't see a hole if he was digging it himself. And Devin Singletary is much better, in my opinion. And I'm a Rojo owner.
I agree. I am just tempering my expectations. I'm a Devin Singletary owner in Dynasty. I picked him up everywhere I can. But for some reason, that's redraft draws a line in the sand for me.
So, wow. Couldn't see a hole if he's digging it himself.
Well, I like Rojo. I'm just being harsh.
No, I mean, there was a reason he didn't play last year. It just is what it is. Now, I don't. Did we talk about A.J. Brown yet?
No.
No.
Okay. So at pick 158, A.J. Brown. Listen, can we all just agree Corey Davis is a number one wide receiver?
I like A.J. Brown
Mariota, more. A healthy Mariota this year.
He's trash.
I know. I think he's going to do well. He's going to be a solid QB2.
Hey, thanks for listening to the back...
Man, I mean, we made it like 50 minutes into this show before you made an ass out of yourself.
70.
The goat, Mariota.
70 minutes.
Mariota,
he can feel his fingers this year. He's going to be able to throw a good ball.
Oh, that's great. He's going to change decision-making ability.
I would take him over Derek Carr.
Okay. I'll take Carr all day, every day. Are we going to do this bet? Because I lost
We will, sure.
I lost the niddle last year with Dak. I mean, hell, watch Mariota throw freaking 30 touchdowns.
Probably not. But I think he will improve. He's not going to lose the job to worse. Tannehill.
He couldn't get worse.
Well, yeah, because he's basically paralyzed from the elbow down.
Okay, that never got brought up in any meeting.
You've heard all offseason about how he couldn't feel his fingers.
I know, but, whenever you're playing like trash, you don't want to maybe mention, hey, I can't feel my hand. That's the reason I'm garbage.
Well, who are they going to put in?
Anybody would have been better than him. Like, I don't have the numbers in front of me, but I feel like he threw something like, I don't know.
Listen, 19 we're not talking touchdowns. Mariota here. We're talking A.J. Brown and Corey Davis.
Well, I was way too freaking generous. He threw 11 touchdowns last year. 11
probably,
touchdowns.
Probably had more interceptions than touchdowns.
He had eight interceptions. Ooh. It was close. Anyway.
Hey, hard not to improve, though.
It is hard not to improve on that.
He could play three games and improve on
my
that.
My point is there's a lot of guys out there that if we would have just in a vacuum, A.J. Brown is going to be a top three rookie wide receiver this year in a vacuum. This is before they went to any team.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, he's all of a sudden faded like 70 picks past N'Keal Harry.
Well, he did go to a terrible offense.
He went to a terrible situation, absolutely. Yeah. But if it is to be believed that Derrick Henry is any sort of an answer, then that means you have to account for the running game. Yep. That should, and if Corey Davis... If
Corey Davis is going to draw number one coverage.
In theory, yes. Yep. At least for half the season, he will. So there's got to be some openings for A.J. Brown. A.J. Brown's game isn't go up and get it. He can do that, but that's not his game. His game is getting open, and he's the most polished route runner in this year's draft class. If Mariota is going to improve, it's going to be by finding the guy who's open, and that guy is going to be A.J. Brown. At pick 158, give me all A.J. Brown.
I like it. It's a stab in the dark at 158. If you're mm-hmm. picking 158...
Just stab in the dark!
Exactly. I'm just saying... In redraft, I'm not picking any rookie wide receivers.
Oh, I understand.
Even N'Keal, as high as he is, I'm not picking him.
I'll take Sega as late as he is going.
I'm picking AJ Brown as late as he's going. Like I said, it's you're throwing darts at that point. If you're into the 13th round, your team's set. So why not throw some high upside dart throws? But as far as N'Keal Harry being as high as he is, no, don't like it.
Okay. So
I disagree, but okay.
Rehashing strategy, like a ton of other folks say, but worth mentioning because we agree with it. Wait on your quarterback unless you're infatuated with Baker and he's there in the fourth and you had a good draft. That's my strategy there. I would take Baker in fourth. Otherwise, I'm waiting on Ben Roethlisberger or Stafford.
Just Baker.
See, oh, well, if Andrew Luck or Deshaun Watson falls there.
Matt Ryan in the fourth?
No, I'm not. No, Matt Ryan, if he's still there in the fifth, even where he's landing.
I mean, the amount
number,
of points.
Number two last year?
Yeah.
The amount of points he's put up over the past couple of years, you're still passing.
I have number faith, one in 2017.
I have faith in Baker rising and Matt Ryan plateauing, staying where.
Even with better protection and better weapons.
At the number two quarterback plateauing, I'll keep him there.
Another year of age, Devontae Freeman back, even though he's hands off for me, I'm just not. Okay. I'm not excited to grab Matt Ryan higher than his ADP.
I mean, if I can get Matt Ryan in the fifth, I'm okay.
That's what I mean. I'll grab him in the fifth if I missed out on Baker in the fourth. But I'd Baker in the fourth because I think that is a very solid grab.
Pass on Baker in the fourth.
Well.
Just to get Matt Ryan in the fifth.
I'm with you because – or you could just, once again, wait till the freaking 10th round and end up with Phillip Rivers.
Yeah.
Or, even later, I believe it was, and end up with Kirk Cousins.
That's all fine and well, but those weapons in Cleveland is the reason I'm going to take that chance on Baker in the fourth. Okay. Odell, Jarvis,
yeah, it's
and
exciting.
Joku, Chubb. It is exciting.
Eighth round Ben
Callaway. I'm excited about that. I'm excited enough about that Cleveland Browns hype train that I'm going to grab it with one arm in the fourth round.
Okay.
Good luck losing your league.
Come on.
Listen, other than pretty much the big four, Baker, he's going to be there eventually. I just don't think he's there yet. I'm waiting. I mean, I'm just.
Rookie touchdown record? He's not there yet?
Dwayne Haskins is going to break that record.
That's true. I forgot.
Write it down.
No, I'm pretty sure I can remember that shit.
Good.
I'm pretty sure I won't forget it.
Good. It's going to happen.
All right.
Dwayne.
Speaking of which, Dwayne Haskins is way freaking late.
He is, but rookie quarterback, I'm not really feeling a redraft.
119, but I will be honest with you. I'll pass on rookie quarterbacks in redraft as well, even though I do think he's going to have a great year. It takes literally being historically great to be worth a quarterback in a 12-team PPR. So.
Also, if you don't have a top four pick, maybe it is best to wait on running back. Get those stud wide receivers because they're not going to be there after round two.
Or trade back. That's always a good strategy in drafts. If you don't,
if you can, a lot of redrafts don't do that, but if you can.
Well, yeah, that's true.
I'm with Lambert, though. If you can trade back from, let's say,
If you have the sixth pick, fifth or sixth, to mid-round.
To eighth. And then if someone's willing to do that, and give you something third, fourth round, it's worth it.
Yep.
Okay, you miss out on Devontae Adams.
You're going to get a same-tier player.
Exactly.
Plus an extra pick.
So, anyhow.
And if you don't allow trades, open them up. Come on. Get trades going.
Hey, come on, Mish.
I'm going to give you.
Drag a draft.
I'm going to give you my biggest bust and my biggest steal, ADP-wise. Bust, Tyler Lockett. I hate on him. Hate. I just hate on him. I can't help it. Round five?
Yep.
Being in front of Ridley and Godwin, piss on that. No thanks. There's guys there that are more talented, in my opinion. Bust. I don't like him that early. And I don't know why, but DeSean Jackson, all the way back in round 14, to me, that's a steal. I think him and Carson Wentz are going to flourish together. I think DeSean Jackson is going to be the wide receiver to own in Philadelphia. So that, to me, is the steal. Currently, out of all this whole list of ADP guys, this is the last page. This is like two rounds from the end. You can grab DeSean Jackson.
Yeah, we only printed off to round or pick 200.
16 rounds. Plenty. Redraft. How many more? This ain't 32,
right?
32 roster spot like Dynasty that we play. Tyler Lockett, pass. DeSean Jackson, grab. I mean, that's almost 10 rounds difference. Give me DeSean 10 rounds later than Tyler Lockett.
I think probably my biggest steal is going to be DeSean Hamilton to pick 184.
Solid.
Once again, you know, once he became a starter, he was ridiculously solid. Probably the hardest pass I'm going to make is going to be Dalvin Cook at pick 21.
I'm okay with that.
For Dalvin Cook, I'm going to tell you right now, I'll take Leonard Fournette over Dalvin Cook. Yeah, I don't like Leonard Fournette either.
I'm not okay with that.
I don't like Fournette either. I don't like Damian Williams, but I'm taking both of them. Once again, Kerryon Johnson, Marlon Mack, Josh Jacobs, Aaron Jones, all of them over Dalvin Cook.
It's like some speed rap.
I don't think that he's going to, A, stay healthy. He's not that great even when he is. Even when he's healthy, he's not a stud.
Well, I'm scrambling because you literally took both of my guys.
That's okay. Just
my biggest steal,
I agree.
Anthony Miller. Now I'm gonna switch it up. I'm going Anthony Miller. 13th round, I can pick up possibly the number one wide receiver in Chicago. Give me that all day long. All day long.
Until Riley Ridley takes over that
job. I don't like Allen Robinson. So, hey, Riley Ridley.
He was a good route runner.
That's some good dynasty steal potential.
I also think Sony Michel is going to be a bust. That's just my opinion. I think they brought Damian Harrison in for a reason. I worry about the knee, but
I don't disagree nor agree with that.
I will tell you,
neutral.
I worried none about Sony Michel's knee until they picked Damian Harris. Like that does give me a little bit of pause. I still like Sony Michel.
Redraft, I think he's fine.
I still think that I'm going to take a shot on him.
Yep.
But it'll probably be a round later than his ADP. You know what I mean?
They do have enough running backs there to where Damian Harris was not really a smart pick unless they were worried about Sony Michel.
Yeah. So, I mean, yep. Michel in the fifth, if he comes to me in the fifth, sixth, it's going to be hard to pass if I'm already set at, you know, the other running back spot and wide receiver. But, man, it does give me a little bit of pause. I will say that.
I'm just saying.
If I get Michel, I want James White
before,
with him.
He's going before Calvin Ridley and Chris Johnson or Chris Godwin.
Chris Johnson.
Woo. Chris Johnson.
Been a while. CJ2K.
It's been a bit.
Last thing I'll add. If you can nail your draft running back and tight end wise, even quarterback wise, Ridley and Godwin, if you can nail those guys, if you can nail them at the end of the fourth, mid fifth, if you can get both of those guys on your team as your wide receiver, your first two wide receivers you draft, and then kind of hone in, grab Mike Williams a round later, grab Jarvis Landry a round after that. I mean, if your top four receivers were Ridley, Godwin, Landry, and Mike Williams in redraft, are you comfy? I'm comfy.
In a 12-teamer,
I'm comfy.
I better have some damn good running backs.
Yeah, my running backs.
Well, that's what I mean. You're my using your first and tight few rounds.
Better be great.
You're using your first few rounds on running backs, and you might grab Kittle early third. And then maybe you grab Baker in fourth, Ridley, Godwin, Mike Williams. Who's the other guy I said?
DeSean Jackson. I know you love him.
No. I said Ridley,
Mike Williams,
Godwin, Mike Williams, Jarvis Landry.
There you go, Landry.
So those are your four with Baker, running backs from round one or two, not sure who you got, and George Kittle. Holy smokes.
Mixon.
Yeah,
maybe Melvin Gordon.
In theory, you could
get Melvin Gordon, Mixon.
Depending on where you're at, Baker, you could end up
Mixon,
with Saquon,
Gordon, Kittle.
Ooh. Yeah, I'm comfortable getting Godwin.
I'm comfy.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because you're literally dominating running
you're
back.
You're winning every position except wide receiver.
Well, and you grab two of the biggest potential wide receiver one candidates that are available this year in Ridley and Godwin.
Yep.
Potential ones that you can get in round four.
Both those guys very easily, very likely will finish in top 16.
I agree.
Strategy wise, don't panic. Best player available. Stick to your strategy.
Stay calm.
Don't panic. If there's a run of quarterbacks, let them go.
Now, here's what I will say on the other side. It's okay to start the run. It's not okay to be the fourth guy in on the run. You know what I mean?
No.
You don't want to be the guy who's like, oh, okay, man, I've got to take, you know, O.J. Howard here.
The guy forced to take Sony Michel.
Yeah, it's in the third round, and you're taking O.J. Howard. Yeah,
nobody wants to be the last guy.
Yeah, because you're in the run.
Yep.
Yeah, because is someone going to take Njoku, you know, the next pick? No.
Yep.
Don't want to be the last guy in a gangbang.
Oh, that's what I was going to say, but I wasn't sure if I should. I was holding it in.
Don't want to be the last guy in Debbie Does Dallas. You want to be the first guy.
That's right.
I wanted to be uncredited in that film.
Uncredited. All right.
Uncredited appearance, 900 guys.
We'll probably get to some, you know what? We guys get to some IDP ADP next episode.
IDP ADP. Ooh,
IDP like ADP.
It. Like where your head's at.
I like it.
IDP ADP. All right. Again, check out the Back Row Talk Show if you enjoy some of our banter. More episodes coming. It's our way of having fun after recording this show that we have fun on. And again, subscribe, rate, review. Follow us at Bark Back Row on Twitter, at Arms Back Row on Twitter, at The Back Row Show on Twitter, at Only Here for the BRFS, I think, is Lambert. Yep.
It's four.
And at Neil
the
Drox.
Number four.
Yes. Only Here, number four for the BRFS. And at Neil Drox, who we have discovered we love when he's pissed off. So we're going to try to piss him off more for you guys.
Absolutely. I'm going to flash his tires right before the next show.
Can I be here for a better show?
Yo, yes. Absolutely.
Great.
Absolutely. Thanks again. Barks out.
Good night.
Yep.
This concludes another episode of the Back Row Fantasy Show. Thanks for listening, and be sure to give us a review.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 Dream Beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5HETIDE.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5HETIDE.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.